Hello again. Some years ago, my brother Fran, a fellow Jesuit, and I did a pilgrimage in the footsteps of St. Paul. With some 20 other Christians, we traveled around Turkey and Greece, visiting the places where Paul and his companions once lived and preached the good news of God's love for all human beings. Having been on more than a few pilgrimages in my life, I've always found the experience to be one in which I and my fellow pilgrims are invited to stretch our minds and memories so as to imagine what it was like in the past. And so wherever we went, whether it be Colossus and Ephesus in Turkey, or Athens and Corinth in Greece, my fellow pilgrims and I were invited to imagine Paul being here or there some 2,000 years ago. In reading and reflecting upon today's passage from the 16th chapter of Acts, it was easy to recall being in Macedonia, a region of modern-day Greece, and imagine Paul's decision to go there, a decision first revealed in a dream. As the first reading relates, quote, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." When he had seen the vision, we sought passage to Macedonia at once, concluding that God had called us to proclaim the good news to them, unquote. While St. Luke, the writer of the Acts of the Apostles, does not seem to make a big deal of this decision, it really was and is, for going to Macedonia meant the Paul that was bringing the gospel to Europe, one of the very first Christians to do so. And Paul did not originally intend to do this, as he had planned to head east into Asia, not west into Europe. Now it was important to note that earlier in the passage, Paul's decision was marked by two other decisions of choosing where not to go. As is stated again in the first reading, quote, "They traveled through the Phrygian and Galatian territory because they had been prevented by the Holy Spirit from preaching the message in the province of Asia. When they came to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So they crossed through Mysia and came down to Troas." Unquote. Because they had been prevented by the Holy Spirit, we hear. We also hear, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. Curious, don't you think, that the Holy Spirit prevented them from going to Asia? And the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them to go east into Bithynia? Folks, what we are learning from this day's passage from Acts is how Paul made his decisions. In other words, how Paul discerned how God was moving him to go to some places and not others, to preach to some people and not others. And in the classic method of spiritual discernment, Paul was learning to say no so as to say yes, yes to a greater good, no to heading east into Asia, in order to say yes to go into Europe. What's more, this passage reveals something else. The first person plural we. Where does we come from? Who is the other person mentioned in the passage? Theologians theorize about who this nameless companion could be. One theory is that Luke, the writer of Acts, is the companion. Another speculation is that Luke is injecting the reader into the passage. We, you and I, are invited to imagine ourselves as companions of Paul. So suppose for the sake of today's reflection, we follow this theory and imagine briefly ourselves traveling with Paul. What might we experience? The year is 49 AD. 16 years since the death and resurrection of Jesus. There we are with Paul in the bustling seaport town of Troas in Asia Minor, when one morning Paul says to you or me, "Friend, today we are not going east, but due to a vision I had, we are going to head west into Macedonia." And your response, "Paul, do you mean instead of heading to Asia as we had planned, we are crossing the sea into Europe?" "Yes," Paul replies, "we are going to tell the stories and preach the good news of Jesus the Christ in Europe. This is where the Spirit is leading us." Now consider for a moment the consequences of Paul's discernment to spread the gospel into Europe. And imagine the way Paul was thinking, that there were thousands of Macedonians in that part of Europe who had never heard of Jesus the Christ. And then consider the millions of Europeans, including many of your ancestors and mine, who would one day become Christians because of Paul's decision, his discernment, his dream. And notice also that Paul's decisive action was not taken alone, as it had become his habit since his conversion experience on the road to Damascus to take risks of faith. But as we've seen throughout the Acts of the Apostles, Paul does not and could not do his courageous missionary journeys alone. For to go beyond the geographic borders and the social boundaries, Paul needed companions through whom the Holy Spirit sent and supported him to take the necessary risk for Christ's love for all humanity, whether Jews or Gentiles. And what about you and me? What risk for Christ are we willing to take? And to whom are we called and sent to share the good news of God's love for all humanity here in the 21st century? Today, Saturday, May 16th, is National Be Good to Your Neighbor Day, a day in which we are invited to take some risk for faith and love. There are many possible ways to do this. As conveyed on our Holy Trinity website, there is a list of such activities. Obviously, due to the shelter-in-place restrictions and social distancing regulations, we cannot be as socially active as we normally would. But there is nevertheless much we can do. Today, dozens of parishioners have signed up on our website to partner from their homes on sites with volunteer organizations such as The Brooks, Friendship Place, Hope and Home, Martha's Table, Capital Area Food Bank, St. John Baptiste, Some, A Wider Circle, L'Arche, and other groups. Other parishioners have chosen to write special letters. Some letters involve political advocacy. Other letters are written to support troops. Still letters are written to comfort parishioners who are ill. And then some parishioners are praying with Tony Tabasco in a meditation. Some are knitting. Some are dropping off food. While others simply have chosen to do something surprising and kind for their next door neighbors or neighbors across the street. Friends, however and whomever we are called this day, perhaps you and I are being encouraged by the Spirit who moved Paul and his companions to cross boundaries. For by engaging in actions of generosity today, we are participating in the Spirit of Jesus, the same Spirit who prompted St. Paul and his companion to once upon a time cross a boundary into a foreign land and to introduce strangers to new ways of living and loving and serving. By so doing, Paul invited strangers to imagine that through the Spirit of Jesus the Christ, all men and women, rather than being strangers, are indeed neighbors. Indeed, the Holy Spirit behind the we who accompanied St. Paul to cross borders and seas into Macedonia is the same Spirit who's behind the we, you and I, of today, who are invited to accompany our brothers and sisters on this day of neighbor, this day of being sent, this day of sharing with Paul the great journey of crossing boundaries and borders into the way of living and loving that calls all of us as friends in the Lord, as companions of Jesus the Christ.